Father, we worship you once again, the ever faithful God. Heavenly Father, we honor your presence in our midst. We welcome you, Lord Jesus, a faithful and merciful high priest, able to save to the uttermost. We worship and welcome you. Father, as we go into your word this evening, I humble myself under your mighty hand, and I lean entirely on your mercy to be faithful. Mercy, Lord, to enable us to receive your word with the same accuracy with which we come forth this day. Father, we humble ourselves, we duck under covering this evening, and we are trusting in the grace of the said Father in house to avail for us today. As we go into your word, Father, we ask, Lord God Almighty, that your word will go forth in accuracy, in power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit, causing our wills to become more humble, our minds to further enlightened by the revelation knowledge of Christ's life, and our emotions to be further controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. Help me to be concise and to be precise, not to say things that are unnecessary. And Lord, at the end of the day, Lord, we'll be more conformed to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness in the service today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Please, can you quietly play the organ in the background? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the weightier matters of the law. Let's say together, keeping the weightier matters of the law. Praise the Lord. It's an offshoot, a spin-off from what Pastor shared about 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago about avoiding sins of omission. And Mommy gave the answer in a different way when we had a Gideon's prayer meeting on Saturday, when she was quoting from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30. So, but let's start by looking at this scripture that the Lord brought to me, of which I got this message from. Let's open our Bible's book of Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. Praise the Lord. Matthew 23, verse 23. Let's read together. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. This ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Here we see the Lord Jesus Christ talking to the leadership of that day, the scribes and the Pharisees. They were the custodians of the law. And he said unto them, he said, woe unto you, you scribes and Pharisees. And he gave the reason why he gave, said what he said to them. He said, you have omitted the what? Weightier matters of the law. Let's together. Weightier matters of the law. Weightier just means more important. And he said that, look, he said, you concentrate, so to speak, by a paraphrase, on paying tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have done what? Omitted the weightier matters of the law, which is what? Let's say together, judgment, mercy, and faith. And he said, this ought you to have done and not left the other. At least, he wasn't telling them not to pay tithes and offerings, but was telling that they have left the most important things. You're about to have a saying. You say, I'm fear, tell it. A long way, lakba, lakba. That if somebody has leprosy and has rashes or scabies on his body, instead of treating the leprosy, he leaves that one to be dealing with the rash, ringworm, whatever he has on his body. So this was exactly what was happening in those days when Jesus Christ was ministering to him. He said, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. He said, you have left the weightier matters of the law. If we move to verse 33, let's just read it. Because it was a continuous discourse. He called them blind guys, leading people, you know, wearing white sepulchres. Verse 33, please. What he says, in that sense, he said, ye serpents, let's say together, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? He wasn't abusing them. When you read the scripture, how can he call them snakes? No, Jesus Christ he spoke in parables, he used types and shadows. He was just trying to look, you are controlled by the sin nature. How about you serpents? That serpent that speaks of the satanic nature. They use serpents, that is the nature that is controlling you. And he said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? You see, God he wanted them to escape. But because they omitted this which are matters of the Lord, he said, how can you escape? Because what will have made you escape, you have left it. And you are concentrated on things that will not make you escape. Which is the present situation we have in church of the blood of Christ today. They omit the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. And they concentrate on paying tithes of mint, you know,
them just summarize the prosperity message. They have overemphasized it. You see, when I was preparing, a thought came to me. I will not say it as a law, but I believe we should be preaching prosperity 10% and then 90% to be conformed to the image of Lord Jesus Christ. Because God demands for a tithe. And that is 10%. But see, they preach like 90% of their message is on tithes and offerings, how you can prosper. And then they preach, if at all, even less than 10% in some places, about how to become more conformed to the image of Lord Jesus Christ, which is our destiny. Now, what are we saying? Like Pastor told us, it is a permanent truth. Omission is the root, and the branch is what you see on the outside, which is the commission you see. And he gave us the example of David when he said that when kings ought to go to battle, David stayed back. Mommy, you said something already about a year ago. He said, when you pray, you are recording. He said, it's the playback you're not experiencing in the course of the day. Are you following me? So omission is, let's say, omission is the root, and the commission is the branch. So don't let us deal with the branch. The root is these greater matters of the law. Let's say together, judgment, mercy, and faith. So, as Pastor has taught us, what is the law? When the Bible talks about the law, there are three aspects of the law. We have the ceremonial law. Let's say together, ceremonial law, moral law, which is the Ten Commandments, and then we have spiritual law. You see, we know, as we all have been taught, we've done away with the ceremonial law, the killing of animals, the sacrifice of bulls and all that. You know, we don't do that again in the New Testament. And then we have the moral law, which is the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not do that. God gave Moses on the Mount. But you see, you cannot keep those Ten Commandments if you don't undergird it with the spiritual law. Are you following me? Which is very important. So these are the weightier matters of the law that God wants us to keep so that we can do what? Escape. He said that how can you escape the damnation of hell? And we know that we're in a season of perilous times. These are perilous times. All kinds of things are happening. You can hear stories of people falling left, right, and center. The Bible says that 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at the right hand, except shall not come near you. The only reason why it will not come near you is because you keep the weightier matters of the law. Praise the Lord. So let's move on. Which I said there are means more important. If you open to the book of Luke, Luke says the same thing in a different way. Luke chapter 11 verse 42. Let's just mention before we continue. Luke 11 42. He says that in the same discourse, but Luke writes in a different way. He says that, woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. So you can see there. Judgment and what? The love of God. This ought ye to have done and not leave the other undone. The Passover, judgment, and the love of God. I'm getting ahead of myself. The Bible says love never fails. So if you don't want to fail in this end time, don't pass over judgment and the love of God. Now, when we hear the word judgment, I don't want us to be afraid. Because we always think in a negative. Judgment is coming to you, the house of God. In scriptures like, you know, judgment shall begin in the house of God. It is true. The scriptures cannot be broken. But the same Bible says that if you will judge yourself, you shall not be judged. So God has given us a way of escape. Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31. 1 Corinthians 11, 31. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's see together. Oh, let's read from verse 30 so we can understand. You know, Paul was talking to the Corinthian church. There are a lot of problems, committing all kinds of things around envy, you know. And they came to take communion. And he said, for this reason, for this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Next verse. Four means because. It says, for if you will judge yourselves, ourselves, we should not be judged. God has made it so simple. He says, if you and I will judge ourselves, we will not be judged. So that shows you that God's desire is not to judge us. Because it's like giving you, after you answer questions, and they say, okay, mark your scripts yourself. So if you judge yourself, you will not be judged. Next verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But when we are judged, that means you didn't judge yourself. Anytime God chastens you or chastens me, that means that at a certain point in time, I've been dishonest. Are you following me? So he said, but when we are judged, we are done what? Chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. So even that chastening is so that we will not be condemned with the world. That are going to hell. Are you following me? So God says, if you will judge yourself, You will not be judged. What does judgment mean? I put it down. It is self-examination based on honesty and integrity of heart. That is, you take the Bible, like we are sharing today, and you hear something a pastor says or mom says. It's like mom was talking to us the other day about eating of the tree of life. You know, talking from Deuteronomy 20:30. And you look at yourself, I've not been doing this thing, oh God, please have mercy on me. That is, you are examining yourself in the light of God that has gone forth. I follow him. That is, you are examining yourself. Then you now judge your wicked action. Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. You are not condemning yourself, but you are condemning the act that this thing I've done is wrong. It is satanic. Are you following me? So you now examine yourself. I said self-examination. Let's say it again. Self-examination based on honesty and humility of heart. A pastor taught us some time ago. He said there's constructive judgment and destructive judgment. What is the difference? Constructive will give you a way of escape. Will give you hope. Like you throughout the book of Revelations, when Jesus was talking to those churches, he will tell them so and so will happen. He said, repent. And so. They will not tell them the reward. Are you following me? So he wasn't condemning them. He will tell them, say, you have not done this, you know, anoint your eyes, have so. And he said, if you don't repent, he said, I will cast so to kill them or something, like one of those churches, I can't remember. He said, I will in Laodicea, I can't remember. He said, I will spit you out. He said, except you repent. And then after that, he now tells them, he gives them a motivation. He said, he that overcometh shall eat of the tree of life. He that overcometh shall sit with me. To that is constructive judgment. And that is the way God wants us to relate to each other. It's like a medical doctor. When they treat somebody for any kind of disease, they will give them drugs so that the place can heal. But you see, destructive judgment is like a quack doctor. He does something and then he leaves like that. I see some of these drivers, you know, maybe they have a wound or something just along the way. Instead of going to put iodine or something to heal the wound, they will put brake oil. Haven't you seen it before? You see, those are the kind of things that I just use as an example so you can understand. We have constructive judgment when you correct somebody. Give him a way of escape. Let him know what he has done is wrong. And then when you now correct him, you now tell him what to do. Are you following me? So that he can now do it and not let him see the reward like Jesus Christ. But if you overcome, look, this thing is child's play to what I've planned for you, that you sit with me on my throne. So the person is not sad. Or maybe if he's sad, he has hope. Are you following me? So that's what God wants us to do. And you see, this judgment, mercy and faith, they are linked. If you don't judge yourself based on honesty and humility, humility will submit to what honesty reveals through the word. Are you following me? If you don't do that first step, you cannot obtain mercy. Our just Christ told them, he said, you have omitted the weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy and faith. Let's say together once again, judgment, mercy and faith. Now let's say this way, self-examination based on honesty and integrity of heart, mercy and faith. So you are not going away with the judgment. Because if you will judge yourself or you examine yourself and judge your wicked action, you will not be judged. But if you don't do it, we cannot hide from the scripture. The Bible says that person will be judged. It said, for this reason, many of you are weak, many of you are sickly, and many still will start feeling weak. Start examining yourself in the light of what God has revealed to you. Praise the Lord. So next stage is mercy. As pastor has taught us, says that mercy is God's compassionate disposition that enables him to give us life from the outside. They say life from the outside. Life from the outside. The grace of God gives us life from within. But mercy gives life from the outside. Psalm 145 verse 19, I believe. Yes. Psalm 145 verse 9. It says that his tender mercies are over all his works. Let's read together. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all. Say over all. Over all his works, both Christian and unbeliever. Over all. See, it is that mercy that preserves us from being consumed. Mercy works three ways. Like Pastor has taught us in Lamentations. Say, by his mercies we are not consumed. Let's say together, by his mercies we are not consumed. I'm just going to quote it. I'm not going to go there. In Lamentations 3, it says, by his mercies we are not consumed. And by his mercies, Paul said, I've obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. So mercy helps us to be faithful. And then mercy also helps us to triumph over judgment. Let's look at that before we move on. In James chapter 2, verse 13, in NIV. So mercy does three basic things. Always remember that. It is by his mercies we are not consumed. The Bible says that our God is a consuming fire. That is God's character. But it's a force field of mercy around him that acts like the ozone layer. Are you following me? Scientists say that the ozone layer surrounds the about 20 miles around the stratosphere of the earth. And what it does, it protects the earth. It shields us from ultraviolet rays from the sun that will probably affect us. Now, because of the things that men have been doing on the earth, and all these carbon emissions, the ozone layer has begun to deplete. And we are having bizarre weather patterns. Right or wrong? And it's affecting different things upon the earth. Why? You see, that's why I said, mercy acts like God's ozone layer. It's around him. Hebrews says that our God is a consuming fire. So there's a shield of mercy around him. So you see, that is why you find that in the book of Romans, it says that the wrath of God is revealed upon on the unrighteousness of men. You see, men are beginning to, because of the increase in dishonesty of the hearts of men, like Pastor will preach and talk about dishonest scientists, you see, it's beginning to deplete the mercy of God. And you see, that consuming aspect, it's not because God wants it to happen. It's beginning to allow Satan to do all kinds of evil. Are you following me? So what are we saying? Let's go say, for he shall have judgment without mercy. Give me to me NIV, please. NIV, as I keep talking. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. So, and mercy does what? Triumphs over judgment. So anytime you are in a difficult situation, call for mercy. Mercy will deliver you from being consumed because our God is a consuming fire. But he delights in mercy. And then that mercy that you receive will also enable you to be faithful because you've already stumbled. And then that mercy will now cause you to triumph. You see, when God was talking to Moses in the wilderness, he said, leave me. Just like we talk. He said, leave me. Move away. Let my anger wax hot. Let me consume them. I think it's in Exodus 32:10. I'll keep talking. God was very angry when they built the golden calf. And it was coming down. He told Moses, he said, Moses, your people, they've already misbehaved. They've defiled themselves. Moses did not understand because he didn't see it. He said, our God, don't let your anger wax. Please put it in Exodus as I'm talking, 32:10. He said, don't let your anger wax. Or to, what would people say that you brought them out and you could not take them in? He said, God, repent of this your evil. Not that God was doing evil, but that's what they spoke in the Old Testament. He said, repent of this your evil. This is what God talking. He said, now therefore, let me alone that my wrath may wax out against them and that I may consume them. And I will make of thee a great nation. He said, but Moses stood in the gap as their oversight, pleading for mercy. By the time Moses got down the mountain and he saw what they did, he said, I made a mistake. He was even more angrier than God, because he broke the tables. He was very angry. Can you imagine? He took the golden calf, melted it, and he told them to drink it. Raw iron. He was very angry. Well, because God did not tell God, said, look, move away. He felt that, look, God, you don't understand. This is too harsh. He didn't know. But when he saw what they did, he himself even was very mad, so to speak. But see, mercy triumphed over judgment. Praise the Lord. So let's put the scripture behind it. Proverbs 28, verse 13. The Bible says that he that confesses and forsakes his sins shall do what? Obtain mercy. Let's read together. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But also confesseth and forsaketh them shall do what? Shall have mercy. This is how you get mercy. You not only confess from John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, you also forsake. You don't only confess, but you also forsake. That is how you get mercy. So you confess and you forsake, then you obtain mercy. Praise the Lord. And for us Christians, the Bible says you can see an interplay of mercy and grace when we pray. In Hebrews chapter 4, the last verse, he says, let us therefore come unto the what? Throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. You don't have to turn there. Just keep mentioning and move on. So when you exercise honesty and humility of heart. Honesty reveals to you what you have done. Humility submits. Ah, Lord, this thing I did is wrong. Then you submit to it. Then you've come to the throne of grace. What do you get? You obtain mercy. So you will not be consumed, not to be faithful and to triumph at the judgment. And find what grace to help in time of need. We always have times of need in our lives. But the key is to be honest about it and to submit to what honesty reveals. So we see there, judgment, we've spoken about mercy. The last aspect that Lord Jesus Christ corrected them for was talking about faith. What is faith? Like Pastor taught us, faith is simply trust in the invisible God and His word. No man has seen God before. But what is faith? Simply trust. Hebrews 11 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says we understand by faith that the walls were framed, that things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. So what is faith? In its simplest form, it's just trusting the Lord. And then you've not seen that God before. It's invisible. The Bible says Moses endured a sin that is invisible. You now trust His word, the integrity of God's word, that this God cannot lie. You see, but we're in a season whereby that faith can fail. It takes prayer for your faith to stand in this end time. That's why he told Peter. He said, Peter, I prayed for you that your what? Faith fail not. You see, you can wake up in the morning and make all the confessions you want to make, like Peter did before Gethsemane. Said Jesus Christ, you will deny me. Said, I will never. He made a positive and a good confession, but was not backed by power. This takes me to the next scripture in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. We are talking about the weightier matters of the law: judgment, mercy, and faith. Are we there? Let's read together. Wherefore also, we pray always for you, that our God will count you worthy of this calling, and do what? Fulfill all the good pleasure of His goodness, and the work of faith with power. Let's say it together. And the work of faith with power. It takes power to walk in faith, especially in this end time. The faith we are talking about again is not the faith only for miracles. It is part of it. But the faith we are talking about is the faith to perfect the love of God. Why did Peter's faith fail? Because his love was not perfected. The Bible says that love never fails. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 verse 6 says that faith worketh by the love. Are you following me? I'm just linking scriptures together because of time. He said, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. So when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. And the same Bible says that the love never fails in 1 Corinthians 13. So if you don't want your faith to fail, you need to perfect the love of God. So you focus your faith to perfect the love of God. Why am I saying this? Because we are in the end time. Different things are happening. The hearts of men are failing them. You can solve their hearts for the faith of men. Their faith is failing. Even Christians, you hear all kinds of stories every day. Why? Because they have omitted the most important things of the law. Let's say together once again: judgment, mercy, and faith. So let me put it down. This is what I put down. I said, this faith is to be backed by spiritual work done by the power of the Holy Spirit with the end of perfecting the love of God, which never fails. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says this. It says, the end of the commandment is charity, which is agape, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. So that is the end of our faith. It's the same as salvation of our souls. So God knew that in this end time, perilous times will come, that the hearts of men will fail them, that there will be so much pressure that people will begin to stumble. Peter was just an example of under pressure. So if you don't want your faith to fail under pressure, focus your faith on perfecting the love of God. Praise the Lord. So that is what we need to know. We are in perilous times. And you see, why is this message important? I've mentioned it, but I put down four important points, you know, to help us to understand why it is important for us not to omit the weightier matters of the law: judgment, mercy, and faith. The first point I have is that God wants to keep us by his power unto salvation in this hour of temptation that has come to try them that dwell upon the earth. These are perilous times. If you open your TV, turn on your TV to CNN. You always hear one bad news. With an earthquake somewhere, something happened, somebody has shot so-and-so people in whatever. And people are beginning to get afraid. Even to go out or even to travel, people are afraid. Why? Because the Bible says that these are perilous times. Are you following me? Satan is trying to unleash all his arsenal. And he must be allowed to, like we've been taught. You see, God cannot, that's why God is teaching us and bringing these things back to us again. So we can begin to practice so our faith will not fail under pressure. So in Revelations, the Bible says that, book to the Philadelphia church, it says that, you have kept my word of patience, and you have not denied my name. Therefore, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. I will come try them that dwell upon. That we are already in that hour now. We're in that season. What? You cannot deny, even in Nigeria, we know. We're in that season. You see, but God has given us a way of escape. And that way of escape is this. By his power, he wants to preserve us unto salvation, ready to be revealed in these last times. Let's put the scripture behind this. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5. Pastor has been teaching from the book of 1 Peter. Are we there? Let's read together. Who are kept? This tells you that God wants to keep us. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So it's going to take the power of God to keep you and I unto salvation, the fullness of salvation, spirit, soul, and body in this end time, in these perilous times. The second point I have is so that we will not fall into idolatry. If you don't keep judgment, mercy, and faith, you fall into idolatry. That is the present state of the church. Because they omit the weightier matters of law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. The over 90% of the church worldwide are in idolatry. Covetousness. New Testament covetousness. Colossians chapter 3 verse 5. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. They overemphasize the prosperity message. There's nothing wrong with that prosperity message. But they overemphasize it. When Jesus Christ was going to preach the prosperity message to his people, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added unto you. It's an addition. Are you following me? So, you see, are we there? Colossians 3 says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is what? Idolatry. But notice, Paul says, mortify your members. If I were to say you have part of your member is adultery, and you say no, you regret it. No. You see, understand that the sin nature is the root of all these things. It's in the members. The root. You see, this is why the leadership of the church, they have done. Perhaps they have committed two evils. They have not taught the people of God about the residual sin nature in the soul and the body. And what you don't know will keep on manifesting itself, and you say, that's just me. That's how I am. So Paul is saying, you are concentrating on covetousness. I said, if you don't keep the weightier matters of the law, you will fall into idolatry. What's the case? You cannot escape it. You see, the reason why we are in the state we are in the church today is because the leadership of the church have failed to teach the people of God the weightier matters of the law. They don't even have an idea what it is. But Jesus Christ, in that same discourse, said the blind are leading the blind. It's like the white sepulchres full of dead men's bones. That is why you have, if you're under that kind of ministry, you have to leave. Come out of her and be ye separate. Are you following me? So you see, the leadership, they've omitted this with that. And you see, when you omit it, I'm talking to us now, whoever omits this weightier matter of law, it is the weightier matters of law that release the spiritual forces that counteract this spirit in the air. You see, you can't say, it won't happen to me. There's a prince of a power in the air. So if you don't release these forces, like Pastor has taught us, not just anyhow, in sufficient measure, every day, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from idolatry, unto him that was able to save him from covetousness, unto him that was able to save him from fornication. Put anything there, because the Bible says Jesus Christ said he was tempted in every way like as we were, yet without sin. This is what got me troubled some weeks ago. I mentioned when I was sick about it. I wrote some things about not to criticize them, but about some men of God having affairs here. Yeah? And I sat down. And the Bible says Elijah is a mark of like passions. I said, these people, they've been on fire for God for a long time. What happened? And Lord spoke to me. I said, I lay on my bed. I just spun. I said, Lord, Kilo Shele, God, Kilo Shele, how can this man do this kind of thing? That is a so big ministry that is known worldwide. How can this one do this one? How can this one say, please come and do this one? And Lord spoke to me as I lay on my bed. He said, walk in the light while you have light, lest darkness come upon you. You see, the moment God gives you light, start walking in it. If you don't walk in it, there is no just staying there. Darkness will come. And once darkness comes, it will envelope that darkness, cover the gray, gross darkness, the people. Not just the world, but including the people in the church. Those that are not keeping judgment, mercy, and faith. So what are we saying? We have refused, the church has refused to keep judgment, mercy, and faith, which will have released the spiritual forces to counter all these things. And I thank God for Pastor and Mommy. You know why? I'm not saying it like you can say something just to, you know, make them feel happy. No. Because as we all stay here, as we are here today, there is none of us that keep that thing 100 times, 100%. There are days you wake up, you can't pray. There are days you do something silly. And then you find out that nothing happens to you. It's not that it's just like that. You see, when those things happen, if you don't examine and judge yourself, you enter into deception. You say, it doesn't really matter. I didn't pray this morning now. And I went out and nothing happened to me. And everything went. And that's it. Someone come and Paul says, by the mercy of God, like Moses did, we are not consumed. It is the covering of the set fathers and us that keeps that ozone layer of mercy. And preserves, you know, you from evil. Praise the Lord. So, as we move on, the third point I have is that the Bible says that in this end time, many shall fall away. Why? Why would people fall away from the faith? Why? It sounds strange. Everybody's expecting Lord Jesus Christ to come. Why people fall away? Why? Because their love will wax cold. The Bible says in the end time, Matthew chapter 24, says, the love of what? Many, the majority shall wax cold. Because it's the keeping of judgment, mercy, and faith that will make your love wax hot. If someone in 1st or 2nd Peter, I don't have time to turn there, he says that having fervent charity amongst yourself, because fervent charity will cover a multitude of sins. You cannot have fervent charity without having the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. The two work together. It is the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man that produces fervent charity. Or as you come to a place that your love will fail when people offend you. So let's put a scripture behind this. You know, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, as we move on. Paul says that the love of many will wax cold. When their love waxes cold toward God and toward their fellow brethren, they will fall away. Have I just said in the book? He said, you are neither hot nor cold. I will do what? Spew you out. Either I spew you out or you fall away, it's the same thing that Zechariah says. He said, two thoughts shall be cut off. Not because God decided to just cut them off, but because they don't keep these weighty matters of law, gradually their law will start waxing cold. The love of God, the love for the things of the Spirit, coming to pray on Tuesday, it doesn't feel like omission. It doesn't feel like it again. You see, you don't wake up one morning and say, I'm not coming to church to pray on Tuesday, or I'm not coming for all night. No. Go back to the roots. You must have been omitting something. The Bible says in Revelation, it says that if any man will take out of a thing that written, it says his own part shall be taken away. You must have taken out when your part is taken out. And you do that by omitting something. Are you following me? So, second, what does it say? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. What does it say? It says that, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away. So before the day comes, there must be a falling away. It is a certainty. But that will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Why? Because as we are practicing this, God does not demand immediate perfection. He demands immediate practice. So that's why you have covering. I follow him. That's why none of us has fallen away. I will not fall away in Jesus' name. He said that day will not come except there come a falling away first. So before that day comes, that the Antichrist is revealed, there will come a falling away first. And that is clear. And what? That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. So by the time that that man is revealed, we are not going to be here. We are not going to be here in Jesus' name. But by the time, before he's revealed, the first thing you will see, there will come, the falling away is not in the world. It's in the church. I follow him, but God doesn't. So that falling away typifies this end time. As Zechariah chapter 11 verse 8 says, three shepherds will I cut off in one day. All these preachers that are omitting the weightier matters of the law shall be cut off. You see, because if you don't cut them off, others are going to follow them. Understand that. Anytime God wants to change a situation, he changes the leadership. So what is on the head will flow down, like Aaron's, you know, anointing on Aaron's head, it will flow down. Are you following me? So Zechariah 13 verses 7 and 8 says that, awake, O sword, against my shepherd. Say, two torches shall be cut off. It's so unfortunate that you see some of these two torches that are cut off are not under the right covering. Now being cut off, there are some that are going to hell. Like we read earlier on in the book of 1 Corinthians 11. It says that if you will not judge yourself, you will be judged. So that you will not be condemned with the world. So don't go away, our God is so, is God going to kill them? And No. Understand what God is trying to do. Because some of them are going to be set in their ways. Because the best thing is just to let them quit the stage when the ovation is loudest, like we see in the world. Are you following me? So there will come a fall away. Obviously, it says that Babylon the Great is falling. Is falling and has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit. Say, come out from among them. I be not partakers of our plagues. God has raised up prophetic ministries all around the world. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen. Come out from among you. See, Babylon is not a church, it's a spirit. God forbid. Someone can be in this church and be under that spirit if you don't keep the weightier matters of the law. That boy in Corinth was operating under that spirit because he was not keeping the weightier matters of the law. Paul said, I hear that so much that is not even heard in the world. He said, deliver such a one to stand, cut him off. But thank God he repented. So don't think about churches so you don't get critical about people. You and I need to examine ourselves, judge ourselves, receive mercy, and then exercise ourselves, you know, in the faith of God that leads to perfecting the love of God. Praise the Lord. So God is calling out people from Babylon, from under that spirit in the air. Praise the Lord. The fourth point I have, I will soon round up, not a long message, is that as we keep these weightier matters of the law, we shall inherit the more exceeding eternal weight of glory. You see, this is what will make you inherit the exceeding eternal weight of glory. If you don't keep those things, you cannot inherit. You start first as a broad anointing, like we've been taught. That same covenant that has kept you and I, when we have not diligently kept the weightier matters of the law, to the degree to which you keep it under that covering, will you first of all inherit the borrowed anointing of the spirit that measure, which is the fullness of our inheritance. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. I'm not going to be long. Praise the Lord. Are we there? Let's all together. For our light affliction is but for a moment, but worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. There's no way you're going to keep the weightier matters of the law that not feel a bit of affliction in your body. There will be days that you're going to wake up and you are tired. fagged out. And then you roll over to the other side. Or you get up and everywhere will be aching you. And you'll not be able to keep it as you ought to. But Pastor has made it very simple. He said, look, even if you cannot keep, I will explain what it is. We already know. Even if you cannot pray with travail, you can do at least those confessions in that small love book. There are 12. Anybody can do that. Say, I can do that. No matter what the situation, you can pick that small book. No matter how busy you are, you can pick that small book and do it in faith. Then covering will make up for the rest. Those are Elijah's 12 stones that he put on the altar. Go and read it. There are 12 confessions in that book. So you set those stones in order. Stone just means revelation of how to perfect the love of God. Everybody can do that. So don't be discouraged on days that you don't keep these weighty matters of the Lord. No. None of us can do it as diligently as Pastor and Mommy will do it. But that's why God said, okay, if you keep a right attitude, those that do it, that same grace upon them will cover you. But you see, you also, you have people under the sphere of your influence. There are some that are not doing at all. Some of them are not even born again. Some that are born again, probably they are under this kind of, they're not keeping the law as well. So it's not to excuse yourself and say, okay, Pastor, you too, you are covering people at your level. We have captains of tens, captains of fifties, captains of hundreds, and captains of thousands. And even five, yes, sir. So there are going to be people around you, maybe in your office, maybe they are not even born again, they are Muslims. It is what you do or you don't do that will either preserve them. So it's not just that covering. That covering will keep you, but you keep some other people. So it's a top-down system. So don't say, okay, if I don't do it, covering, it will cover. Or else, you see, if anything happens to them, God will require from you. Because the Bible says, to whom much is given, much will be required. So it doesn't excuse us to be lazy. It's not an excuse to be lazy. No. But it's a reason for diligence. That, so that while you are under that covering, and you are, so you can master it and perfect it like they do it. Or like Jesus Christ said, who in the days of his flesh, Jesus Christ did not miss his prayer time. He did not. He could not. What would have happened to Peter, James, and John? Do you think that when they killed James, that was the first time that the devil made an attempt? He's been trying since, but he said, I've kept them in your name, and I've lost none, except the son of perdition. Throughout the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry, Satan was trying. That was why when we were going to the other side, you know, the Bible said that the storm rose. It wasn't, they were not playing games, though. They were not, it was real. All the way, those 3.5 years, we are. It was a serious warfare. That's why it's just Christ. He'll wake up, Mark 1:35, and go to a solid place and pray. They will come to him and say, the master is praying. They teach us to pray. That means at that time, they were not praying. How about we say, teach us to pray like John taught his disciples to pray. Prayer can be taught too. By precept and by example. So is that why he was able to keep Peter, James, and John? Immediately he died, they had not exercised themselves enough. The devil was able to pick James. Took Peter. After he took Peter, they understood unity. Then they gathered to pray. Then Peter came out. Are you following what I'm trying to say? The only person that Pastor has taught us that actually went all the way is John, the apostle of love. But you see, before any examination comes, God will teach you. And give you enough room to revise, to make mistakes and make mistakes and make. But there will come a day that day will come. Yes, sir. He said, many of you shall believe and shall be killed. It is not that God wanted those people that died to be killed. But because within that period of time, before the examination came, they did not study hard enough. They were busy chatting on WhatsApp, sending all these funny stuff. It's not wrong, I just said that so I can lie. Everybody's looking so serious. Are you following me? They are busy, they are wasting time. You see, this is very, very simple. You know why it's very simple? Just tighten your time. Determine every morning, no matter what happens, that the first 2.5 hours is for God, period. Pastor said something years ago and it stuck in my memory. He said that when I was talking about preaching from, was a prosperity message. But you see, to others, it won't be a prosperity message. He said that give unto Caesar's what is Caesar's, and give unto God what is God. And he now said something by revelation, by the Spirit. He said, if you do not give to God what is God, you will give what is God to Caesar. When I was preaching on spiritual time management, if you don't give God your time in the morning, the first fruits of your increase of that day, it's not only money. You are going to end up giving your time to the enemy. Come and ask me. I've been chatting with people for 2-3 hours before. I said, I said, God, what came upon me for God's sake? I'm not saying wrong to chat with people, Lord. Please don't get me wrong. But you see, I discovered that each time I don't pray very well in the morning, I will chat more, and I'll not be able to, I will look at my Bible, I will not be able to read it throughout the day. How did it happen to you before? Don't put up your hand. Why? It's very simple. Because you have not kept the weightier matters of the law that morning. But you see, when you, like mommy said, when you do your recording in the morning, in intercession, all you now need to do at this is to begin to wash feet. You find that your steps, there's so much, you read the Bible, you read, you do weekly rema, you write a sermon, you write 3 sermons, you just be flowing, people will slap you, you will smile. But on days you don't do it, if not for covering, that day you are liable to misbehave. But we're not misbehaving, just. So how do we do this? Like I said earlier on, speaking to close. Mommy read from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. He said, I've set before you this day. Let's say together, I've set before you. God has set before me this day. Oh, let's read what I say. I call heaven and earth to what? To record this day against you. God will not record this day against us in Jesus' name. He was calling the entire creation. That look, God was saying, this is your way of escape. Oh. Not in focusing on paying tithes and means and all that stuff. Said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you what? Life and death. Say together, life and death. Blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Say, I will choose life. That both thou and thy seed may live. Next verse. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. That means that is what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob did. He said 3 things there. He said, if you choose life, he said, I've said for you, life and death, blessing and cursing. The same is said before us every day when you wake up. When you wake up in the morning and you choose to do something else, apart from pray, you have chosen death that day. You see, because if Adam, like Pastor taught us, had eaten of the tree of life, we would have the revelational knowledge of the knowledge of good of and evil, which this God has, but God can see ahead. But see, God does not commit evil. Are you following what I'm about to say? So in order for you to make the right decisions in the day, choose life. When you do that, under covering, what happens is when you go out in the day, you know where to go and where not to go. You know what to say and what not to say. But if you wake up in the morning, and please, I'm not against people using their phone. And when you pick up your phone, you already have about 10 messages. Instead of you, at times I shut down that thing when I want to pray. In fact, most times I don't even look at it. When I've done my praying, I've given God my tithe of 2.5 hours, and then offering in prayer, and I'll pick it up and I'll look at it. I say, oh, this is kind of nonsense. But see, if it is that maybe I don't do it, and I'm so my friend has sent a message to me, what is this? And I see something, then you start sending it around. Once you start sending it around, you have become the sent one by Satan that day. So choose life. Very simple. Get up and pray. By the time you spend enough time in prayer, you kill and crucify those members we are talking about in the book of Colossians. Praise the Lord. So, it says, it will enable you to do what? Say, love the Lord thy God, obey his voice, and cleave to him. So, loving God is not just what you say. It's an act. The Bible says that you love not your life unto death. In the face of persecution, you stand for God. You won't buckle under. And it says that you will obey his voice. That means that hidden there is that you will hear his voice. You cannot obey if you don't hear, right or wrong. That means if you eat of that tree of life every morning, you will love God. You will obey his voice. That means you will hear his voice. And then you will cleave to him. It reminds of a scripture that says that, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. So you can see why there are many that are divorcing their wives today in the body of Christ. It takes the life of God to love a woman forever. Go and write it down. You young guys are looking at me like, you want to get married tomorrow. It will take the life of God for you to stick with one woman for the rest of your life. You guys are not looking at me again. That woman you are going to marry can put on weight tomorrow. And vice versa too, yes. That man you are going to marry can put on unnecessary weight. So what are you going to do? Yeah. You are going to love that person by the law of life and love. That's why I said that you may cleave. If it takes the life of God to cleave to God, how much more your spouse? It takes the life of God though. Because things will arise. He said, dwell with them according to knowledge. What knowledge? In knowledge of the life of God. When you get there, guys, you understand. God is helping us anyway. Oh yeah, it is well. So as we begin to close, what are you saying, Pastor Joey? To make it very simple. So we are not waking up tomorrow and looking for a tree in the room. No. It's very simple. It's by diligently eating of the tree of life. That's what I'm about. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to stop very soon. Verse 4. This is pastor spent years teaching us on this scripture. Whereby are given unto us what? Exceeding great and precious promises. That by this you might be partakers of what? The divine. Say the divine nature. The divine nature. That is your tree of life. Every morning is before you. Don't say it is somewhere. Go and bring it. It's right there for you. The word is nigh thee. Even the heart number. That thou mayest do it. That you might be partakers of what? The divine nature. Having what? Escaped the corruption that is the world through lust. That is why the scribes and Pharisees will not escape. Can you link those two scriptures? Verse 10. Yeah, I said, how can you? He said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? How can you escape? Verse 10 says, whereby, wherefore, the rather brethren, give what? Diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you what? Do these things, you shall never fall. It sounds impossible. But the scripture cannot be broken. If you do these things, judgment, mercy, and faith, you will never fall. But we know we are falling many times. But not the kind of umpty-dumpty kind of fall. And you make get angry, you misbehave. Are you following me? So, Pastor, what do I do? I don't want to fall away. I don't want to enter into idolatry. Thank God we have not entered into it. Why? It's very simple. I mentioned it. It's very, very simple. How do we do this? Is by staying in unity and covering. It's so simple. It's by staying, walking in unity and staying under covering. In that same Matthew 23, if you go to verse 37, not just Christ was talking to them. He go with the same discourse. He told them, say, woe unto you because you don't do this. Verse 33 says that, how can I escape the damnation of hell? Then verse 37 now gives us the reason. Are we there? Oh, Jerusalem! Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often will I have done what? Gathered. When two or three of you are gathered together in my name, say unity. Gather thy children together, even as what? A hen gathereth her chickens under her wings. Say under her wings. Covering. That's what they told Ruth. But say you have under whose wings. God does not have wings. He's using that to typify the mercy seat covered by the wings of a cherubim. So how often, he said, oh, Jerusalem, thou that clear the prophet and stoned them which are sent unto thee. How often will I have got? He was trying to gather the scribes and the Pharisees each time they came for his meeting. He said, but as a children, but even as they gathered our children under our wings, and you would not. How can you escape the damnation of hell if you don't stay in unity and under covering? One more scripture, I will close. Proverbs. Let me first explain this so we can understand. The pastor has taught many times. Just mention it, you know. Everything I've said is in this book. The first page of this book talks about self-judgment. Lord, I judge myself and I condemn wicked attitudes of omission. It's there. If you just take this as a little child and you begin to do it, even though you don't understand everything, you will be kept from this hour of temptation. Praise the Lord. So what do we do is by using, you keep the command of life and love, using the blood, the word, and the spirit, at least once every 6 hours, at every opportunity, and in every temptation. The pastor has taught us Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. At least 4 times a day. Just obey that simple instruction, and you care from this hour of temptation. Simply put, watch and pray always. So last scripture, like I said, unity under covering, because we may not be able to do it as diligently as we ought to. So God is not a bad God. He's a very good God. So he does something very simple. He puts us under covering, like just as I was telling them. So I'm trying to gather you together. Gather together in unity. And then, under my wings, I follow me. Let's open our Bible to Proverbs chapter 30, verses 24 to 28. I was in my Bible some time ago, and God spoke to me. He said, in this end time, what will characterize this end time, the survival of this end time, is unity and covering. Let's read. There be 4 things which are little upon the earth, but they are what? Exceeding wise. We are all wise virgins. They are exceeding wise. See, God is not talking here about animal, like Paul said. He said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treads the corn. He said, does God care for ox? Everything you read in the Bible, they kill this bullock, they dip this worm. God is talking about you and I. Until he opens your eyes to see, then you understand. He said, there are 4 things that are exceeding wise. Next verse. The ants are a people, not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. Say unity. Next verse. The cornies are but a feeble folk, yet they make their houses in rocks. Say covering. Are you following me? Say the cornies are a feeble folk. The Paul talks about, say, comfort the feeble minded. So he's not talking about cornies. Say, look unto the rock from whence you were. He said, a man shall be like a rock, like Sarah was sharing on Sunday. So, if you are, you do, people mindedness means you don't really have the revelation of these things as you ought to. Be wise. Be like the ants. Walk in unity. Gather your food in summer. Be like the coney. Hide under covering the rock. Next verse. The locusts have no king. Yeah, they go forth, all of them in bands. Say unity. So when Isaiah, he was talking, he said the inhabitants of the earth are like grasshoppers. So he's not talking about ants and grasshoppers. Are you following me? The next verse says, what does he say? The spider taketh hold with her hands and is in what? King's palaces. Covering. You see that spider you see? If it's outside there, it will be killed. So he enters under covering and hides somewhere there. So while the storm is raging, inside Noah's ark. Yet have I set my king upon my holy Zion. Are you following me? Unity and covering. Let's look at that. Unity and covering. We need unity. Bible says when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Because they are walking in unity. Because when somebody falls upon the sword, that is, he's trying to keep that judgment, mercy, and faith. Once he stumbles that morning and is not able to pray properly, somebody would have asked for life. So he's not wounded. The sword there speaks about the word of God. I follow him. He said, when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. Then covering, like that spider. Say, the man, I don't have time, Isaiah 30 something. Says, a man shall be, you know, 32, like a hiding place, you know, from the tempest. I follow him. He said, a king shall rule in righteousness. That's what I'm looking for. So that spider you see there is not the spider. It is that spider. But look at all of it from the outer court. He's talking about you and I. You are weak. Hide yourself in the king's palace. Walk together in unity. I follow me. Hide in the rock if you are people-minded. And by the mercy and the grace of God, as you continue to operate the law of the spirit of life in Christ, just keeping judgment, mercy, and faith, and then you walk in unity and under covering, God in his mercy will keep us from this hour of temptation, and I'll come to try them that dwell upon the earth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's bow down our heads to pray as we talk to the Lord. I hope I didn't take too much time. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for your word that has come to us expressly today. We are grateful. Let's talk to God. Don't let's condemn ourselves. Like I told us, I said, judgment here is examining yourself. You know, based on honesty and humility. I've given us the way of escape today. So I don't expect us to feel bad that, okay, I didn't pray this morning. Many times I don't get to pray myself. I won't lie to you about that. But somehow undercover, God helps me. But it is the day that I don't do it properly, that I judge myself. I say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I missed it today. I'm sorry. Help me so I don't do it again. So that immediately God grants me mercy. I follow him. Like that mercy doesn't just happen like that. It happens, it comes through covering. They release the ozone layer, so you are not consumed that day. Are you following me? So let's talk to God. Let's examine ourselves. Let's judge ourselves. Like I said, just examine and judge. Don't condemn yourself. Condemn the wicked action. And then the next stage is to obtain mercy. Bible says that looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That mercy will preserve us from being consumed. Will help us to be faithful, to keep judgment, mercy, and faith. It is not of him that willeth, it is not of him that runneth, but on whom God shows mercy. If God does not show us mercy, we cannot keep it. And the Bible says that his commandments are not grievous, but it takes the mercy of God to keep them. Then when that mercy now comes, it preserves us from being consumed, it helps us to be faithful, and then to triumph over the judgment that will have come because we did not do it. You cannot exercise the work of faith with power, which has to do with prayer, confession, all that Pastor has taught about in the days of his flesh when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong kind and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Praise the Lord. Let's stand to our feet.
Here we are waiting, abide in us, we pray.
Here we are longing,
here we are longing for you.
rise on eagle's wings, that you may escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let's put one hand on our heart and raise the other hand unto God. It's a show of our sincerity that without God we can do nothing. Having examined and judged ourselves, let's now pray in faith. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we're clean with the blood from all unrighteousness, blocking our right standing with God. Say, in Jesus' name, we have life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me today, reminding me to keep the weightier matters of the Lord: judgment, mercy, and faith. I repent of my sins of omission in this regard, and I determine that from today I will exercise my heart in honesty and humility, that I may obtain mercy and to do the works of faith with power in order to perfect your love in my life. I come to ask for mercy. I come to ask for grace to walk in unity and to stay under covering, so that my faith will not fail in these perilous times, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's pray in the spirit. In Jesus' name.